Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You to turn to the front part of your hymnal to page 321. The sixth commandment is what we will be looking at this morning. Page 321. What is the sixth commandment? You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? You should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. And husband and wife, love and honor each other. In the name of Jesus, amen. You shall not commit adultery. Uh-oh. Pastor is broaching a topic that we might be a little uncomfortable hearing about. It used to be that you could sit there and tell one another, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, and everybody will get along just fine. But I think today it goes even further. Don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, and certainly don't bring up the topic of marriage and who can get married and maybe who cannot get married. Don't talk about this commandment and what it means for us and the world. Don't talk about sexually themed issues because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say, let alone what you have to say about these things. This is a topic that is on fire in our society today. People are marching all over the place for these issues. People are begging for marriage to happen with pretty much anyone and anything. And yet, we stand today and look at this commandment and say, this is the word of the Lord. We still uphold as Christians that marriage is between one man and one woman as God intended it to be. And if you're not sure about that, go back to the book of Genesis, where God creates Adam. He creates him out of the dust of the ground. He breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And he looks at Adam and he says, "This is good. This is good. This is all part of God's creation." But later he sees that Adam is alone. And he says it is not good for man to be alone. And that's something that is very true even for us men today. It's not good. "So I will make a helpmate," he says, "fit for Adam." That word "fit" there is actually a very key element. The fitting together of man and woman in marriage, both spiritually and physically, in the gift of marriage by God. The two shall become one flesh. What is the first thing that God does with Adam and Eve in the garden? He doesn't simply tell them, you go all have a nice honeymoon, I've prepared everything here for you. He brings them together as husband and wife in the bonds of marriage. That is the very first thing that he does for all of humanity with one man and one woman, the first man and first woman. And it should show for us what a great and wonderful gift it is even for us today to uphold between one man and one woman. But then we turn around and we hear, you shall not commit adultery. There are many of us, I'm sure, here today who have been ravaged by the pain and frustration of divorce, whether it's something that you have done or something that your wife or your husband did against you. There are many families that have been fractured by separation, by divorce, by unfaithfulness of one versus the other. And this is not something that we can deny, but it's also not something that we can simply look at and say, here is the fix-it-all issue. This commandment is given to us today to remind us of where God initially started all things in His goodness. And for better or for worse, like it or not, awkward or embarrassing as it may be, there's no way to talk about this commandment without using the word sex and sexually faced issues that we have today. So why is this so bad? It's because we have seen so much abuse of this gift in our society today. So many things. You can do a quick search of the scriptures, and you'll see that the word sex is never found in the Bible. However, the word sexual is found 31 times, and 30 of those times, it's referring to sexual immorality. In the Greek New Testament, it's the word porneia. And imagine what we can use with that word. The word adultery appears 35 times in the scriptures, including the sixth commandment. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word naoph is what is given to us, and the combining of those Greek and Hebrew words is moixia. These things always refer to the infidelity between a man and a woman as husband and wife. And it always appears in scripture as God condemning what has happened. Not to make us feel bad, not to make us blush, not to make us feel uncomfortable about what has happened in our own marriage or marriages or what's going on with our marriage right now with the friction that may be happening. It's not to make us feel uncomfortable about the issues that some of our family members or friends may be going through with their own marriages. And it's not for us to stand here today and to sit there and spout off how marriage truly should be if you just try harder. If you just be a little more forgiving, a little more loving, if you just listen a little bit more. Because all around us, as Peter says, the devil is prowling around us, seeking who he can to devour. We have taken marriage, we have taken this gift of sex, we have taken all of these things and abused it just like we have anything else in God's creation. And God calls us out on the carpet for that. He calls us out to repentance for all of the things that we have said and thought and done. He has even told those people who are maybe not married that this is something that we should uphold even in our own thoughts, our words, and our conversations, that marriage is according to what Scripture says between one man and one woman. And so it is for us today. We hear all of the things that maybe we feel embarrassed about. But look at also the great joys that are in marriage as well. Just like every one of all of other God's good gifts. He sets limitations, He sets boundaries, He sets things so that we can respect one another. But these are many things that we have ignored in so many ways. And you see it all around us in the world that we live in today, don't we? This is why it's good to focus on this commandment today, to remind one another, to encourage one another, especially our children and our grandchildren, even when they don't want to hear what it is that we have to say, that God will still bless marriage as He did with Adam and Eve. that God esteems marriage as the highest and most important institution in our society, so much so that he gives us this commandment to set up a wall around our marriages to protect the husband and wife from having somebody else enter in and break up that marriage. It's not only a wall to keep others out of somebody else's marriages, but it's also a wall to keep that husband and wife in their own marriage. Because that is how God looks at his relationship to you, his church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the one by whom he has given up his life for. All throughout the New Testament, Holy Scripture talks about the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. God's relationship to us as the church is not just simply God way up in the sky and we down here as his little lemmings. God's relationship, as always throughout the Scripture, has been considered him being the groom and we the bride. We being one with him in all that he has given to us in body and in soul, blessing us, forgiving us no matter how far we have strayed. If divorce has ravaged your life, if infidelity has ravaged your life, if you yourself are lusting after others and committing adultery in your heart, as Jesus says with all of this, all is forgiven. All has been paid for and bought for by the precious blood of Christ, and all will be sustained and restored and renewed by that blood as well. He will not be unfaithful to us. He will protect you, his bride, from all danger, even against the threats and temptations of the devil, because he has laid down his life for you. He finds great joy and delight in you. And he finds great joy and delight in honoring you as his own bride, even when Luther says the church acts like nothing but a prostitute. When a husband and wife love each other with the love given by Christ first to us, this is a greater picture of what communion in Christ with his bride, the church, is really all about. And we can see how God is so closely related to that in us and in our lives as husband and wife. And you may sit there today and say, well, that seems idealistic. It sounds like something you would see on the TV shows in the 1950s. But that's not how my marriage looks like. Sometimes even my marriage to Christ. And that's true. But always remember, he will always be faithful to you. He has been faithful to you even unto death. And in that marriage that we have to him, that we have been united with him in his death and resurrection, we see a wonderful picture of the communion between Christ and his bride, the church. It may not be perfect now for us, but it will be. As you read through the Scriptures, it becomes pretty clear that this commandment is not only to be heard as God's strict judgment against our thoughts, words, and deeds, but they are also, in a very real sense, his promises to you. He will never be unfaithful. He will never leave you, abandon you, abuse you, or do anything else against you, because he loves you so much that he has given up his life for you. He is the faithful husband of you, his beloved bride, and he will fulfill his perfect love for you each and every day he gives to you. By that perfect power and love, he will make you what we are not yet to be, a faithful bride. And at the end of the Bible, we see in John, God's creation completely renewed by the precious blood of Jesus. John sees a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. He sees the bride of Christ enter the banquet hall and is prepared for the wedding feast. That is you. You are declared radiant, pure, forgiven of all of your sins, no adultery anymore. as it was in the beginning with Adam and Eve may not necessarily be now, but it will be forever. And so we have such a great and wondrous and joyous gift given to us by God in marriage and the physical and spiritual bond that we have with one another. It may not be perfect. You're not going to walk out of here today with 7 or 14 steps for a more successful marriage. It doesn't mean that you can't have it. But ultimately, the greatest bond for your marriage is forgiveness. Forgiveness of one another with what they have done against you. Forgiveness because your groom, your Christ, forgives you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.